Certainly it's good to see everyone today. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30. We will be finishing up our series of lessons on the book by Flavel Yakely called Lying Left. And so I hope that you can be back tonight as we bring that study to a close. Included in your prayer requests this week, I want to add my cousin Bob, his wife Stephanie, and their family. He lived in Gatlinburg. And they did lose their house and all of their things, like so many others. If you've been on friends with Janet or I on Facebook, you've probably seen some of the pictures. And so they're kind of have to kind of start all over. So if you could just remember them in your prayers this week. And then everybody over there and in North Carolina who've been devastated by those fires. And maybe they'll get lots of this rain that we've got over the last few days and send it their way. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 will be our first scripture this morning. Genesis chapter 1. You know, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, and Pilate was struggling with what to do with Jesus. On a couple of occasions, the book of John records for us that Pilate brings him out and basically produces him in front of the people and says, in one case, behold the man. And in another case, he says, behold your king. He brings Jesus out and says, behold your king. Now, we know the Jews, at that moment, in that time, rejected Jesus as a king. They didn't really understand what it meant for Jesus to be the king of the Jews, and they didn't understand how he could possibly be the king of the Jews, this carpenter's son. You know, this month we're going to take a look at Jesus, at his birth, his life, his teaching, his ministry, his miracles, his sacrifice. It's the month that the world has chosen to honor Jesus' birth. We're going to take this entire month to take a look and just behold the King. Behold Jesus and what He means to each one of us. His story is an amazing story. And it really never gets old. In order to really understand the message of Jesus, the story of Jesus, and talk about Jesus, we have to begin at the very beginning. We do that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Where Jesus is there in the very beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God is mentioned there, it's not just God the Father, but it's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all together. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Christ was there in the beginning as part of creation, as part of our Creator. Jesus was there. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was there in the beginning of our existence. When you consider what Jesus was going to do, when you consider who Jesus was, it truly is an amazing thing that Jesus accomplished and did what He did. Here is God. The God that created us. Here He is, willing to become one of us. You know, the story of the miraculous birth of Jesus is an amazing story. But it's even more amazing when you consider who it is that's being born. Yeah, a baby was born, but it was God born on earth. God Himself, from the very beginning, who lent His power to give us life, to give us breath, to bring all of this to be, would exist in human form. Would become His own creation. Now let that sink in for just a minute. The Creator became His creation. Now if you were in the situation and you were God, and the creation that you that you made and gave the ability to choose chose to reject you, how would you save them? I don't know that becoming one of them would be high on my list of priorities at that point, but that's what God did. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, Paul says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Have this mind in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus, though He was in the form of God, He was willing to humble Himself and become a servant to save us all. To really and truly begin the story of Jesus, we have to begin with God's willingness to come to earth and save us by becoming one of us. How much did He love us? How much does God care? Enough to walk in our shoes. It's humbling to think of who Jesus was. And He was willing to become one of His creation. How often do we complain? How often do we get frustrated? How often do we get upset when things don't go the way we would like, or when people don't do the things we wish they would? And yet God met that opposition and met that rejection, not with that frustration that we always feel, but with a solution. And that solution was to give Jesus for us. We begin at the beginning because Jesus was there. He's God on earth. Also, when we think of the story of Jesus and we consider who He is, it's amazing that there are people who don't believe that Jesus ever existed. And sometimes it's amazing the doubt that can creep in. Did Jesus really die for us? Did Jesus really give His life for us? Is God really there? Well, for just a moment, I want you to consider one simple subject, and that's prophecy. Just the idea of prophecy. Acts chapter 3, in verse 18, says, "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, and He thus fulfilled." You know, in the Old Testament, there are over 300 prophecies about Jesus. Over 300. These were all written by different men, beginning in the book of Genesis, going all the way through the end of the Old Testament, written by various men over centuries, all leading to one person. And depending on what research you do, some people say there's 350, some people say there's 360. There's more than 300. There's a lot of prophecies. And I want you to think for a second, what are the odds? What are the odds that one person could fulfill all of those prophecies? Now, mind you, they were written by different men in different time periods, living under different laws. centuries apart. Now, I was reading a sermon outline about this very subject. And in that outline, it referenced a man by the name of Peter Stoner, who's a mathematician. And he figured out the mathematical probability of this taking place. And I want you to consider this for a second. The probability of any man who lived fulfilling just 8 prophecies. Now, there are over 300. But the probability of one man fulfilling 8 of these prophecies is calculated to 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's 1 with 17 zeros after it. I don't know what number that is. That's a big one. If that was in our bank account, we'd be pretty good, wouldn't we? I don't think we could live hundreds of years and spend all that money. That's the probability that one man could fulfill only 8 of those prophecies. He said, to illustrate how large this number is, Stoner gave this illustration. Suppose that we take that many silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all of the state 2 feet deep. Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that this is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man from their day to present time, providing they wrote them in their own wisdom. Now, the probability goes up a little higher of fulfilling just 48 prophecies is 1 to the 157th power. Yet, he fulfilled over 300. It was no accident. It was no mistake. It was God's plan for Jesus to come. For Jesus to give His life for us. And for those who doubt Jesus, those who doubt what He did, the historical record outside of Scripture points to Jesus. Who can explain all of those things written by those many men over that many centuries of time coming true? Now, just to kind of consider that, if we took 3 different people and put them in 3 different rooms and told them to write the exact same thing, what are the odds it would come out exactly the same way? We always like to put our own spin on things, don't we? It's impressive who Jesus is. God on earth fulfilled every one of those prophecies. And then if we look at the book of John, John records for us something at the very end. John chapter 21 and verse 25. Where he says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." You ever stop to consider that the Bible only gives us a fraction of what Jesus actually did? That it only gives us a taste of what it was like when Jesus was here. John says he did so many things that the world itself couldn't contain the books. The Bible only contains a small part, but the small part that it does contain, it's quite amazing. He was born of a virgin, lived as His creation, grew in wisdom and stature with God and man, turned water into wine, gave the Sermon on the Mount, walked on the water, stilled the storms, lived sinless, died for all, overcame death and lives today. One of those would be amazing. One of those things would defy logic. It would be enough for us to consider how amazing Jesus is. But when you put the whole package together and then consider that he did even more, we can't help but know that our King has an amazing story that deserves more than just a month's worth of consideration. It really deserves a life's worth of study. He deserves our all. Because in truth, he gave all for us. Pilate proclaimed, "Behold your king." As he brought Jesus out and put him on display, he said, "Behold your king." Now, they chose Barabbas on that day. They chose a robber, a thief, a murderer. As we see the King, as we behold Him, we must ask ourselves, what are we doing with Jesus? You see, Jesus is not a subject of which we can be neutral. He demands a response. Some will be neutral, some will choose not to really consider Jesus at all, but by doing so, they choose to reject Him. Really, there's only two answers: accept or reject. The life of Jesus, when we behold our King, it demands attention. It demands a response. There's a song in our songbooks. Ironically enough, it's song A. And it's entitled, "What Will You Do With Jesus?" It says, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken what meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Jesus is worthy of our time. He's worthy of our study. He's worthy of our consideration. He was God on earth. He's the Creator, living as His creation to save that creation. He's the fulfillment of what the Old Testament pointed to in the Messiah. Over 300 prophecies, and Jesus fulfills them all. And he did so many things that the Bible can't even contain it, that books, that the world would be filled with books that could not contain all that he did. But yet what he did is the most amazing story that could ever be told. And it's a story that we can tell each and every day. Jesus is worthy. He's amazing. And he's our Savior. As we behold our King today, the question is, what have we done with Jesus? What will you do with Him? Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. We want to encourage you to do so. Behold the King. Understand the message of God on earth coming to save us. If you've heard that message, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been as close in your relationship with Christ as you need to be. Maybe you haven't been as committed to Him as you wish you were. Today's a great day to get back on track with Him. He's God. He loves us. He came to live with us and die for us. And He wants to ultimately live with us forever. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?